theory written down in here in the same context. We didn't... Lightning. Andrew earlier on mentioned about Darwin and his theories. I've got the word theory written down in here in the same context. We haven't discussed anything about today or what I'm sharing.
Yeah.
Just encourage your parents to pray a spirit of excellence over your children.
Yeah.
Pray a spirit of excellence and a spirit of protection.
Yes.
Over them.
Amen.
Just want to start with a psalm, or the first little bit of two psalms. Psalm 14 verse 1 and Psalm 53 verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God."
Yeah.
The fool says in his heart,
yeah,
"There is no God." And well, it's interesting that somebody prayed for the government of today, the government and authorities. We live in a nation currently that is going a long way towards being a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah.
And this nation is leaning more and more that way.
Yeah.
And we, because we live in this nation, often feel we're in a minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to encourage you to get today that God is the majority,
yes,
not the minority.
Amen.
And we're going to look at some things this afternoon that's going to establish that more.
Amen.
In each one of us.
We
just turn to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Well known verse. Very well known verse. If a non-Christian knows a verse in the Bible, it's probably this one. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth."
Yeah.
Now that word "beginning" means that God initiated everything.
Amen.
Now it says, repeatedly it says in the Word of God that God is Spirit.
Yes.
So the Spirit of God, called the physical, the natural, into existence.
Yeah. Amen.
So if the spiritual called the physical into being, the spirit has to have authority over the physical.
Amen. Yeah.
So the spirit called all the physical into being. That's all the laws of nature, all the natural laws that we take for granted.
Yeah.
God called those into being.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, God created all that. He also created time.
Yeah.
It says, "A day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day to God." And we're constrained by the natural laws. Our physical being and our soul side lives in the natural. So we are subject to the natural laws that surround us. I said that God had got authority over the physical because he spoke it. He brought it into reality. And God's word reminds us a few times about that. It mentions about the potter and the clay.
Yeah.
The clay is the earthly, is the natural. The potter is the spirit.
Yeah.
And the Spirit works on the natural to mould it.
Yeah.
That's the authority again of God over the natural. And we're like the potters. If you want to make a note of the references on that, Isaiah 64 verse 8 and Jeremiah 18 verse 4, you'll read about the potter and the clay. And Jesus said it's the Spirit who gives life. Now, it's funny, cotton on to that, it says the Spirit gives life and the flesh profits nothing. So we think, oh, we don't need to go to the gym then, do we? But it doesn't quite mean that. It's talking about the Spirit compared to the natural.
Yeah.
You'll find that in John chapter 6, verse 63. So God's talking in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, about Him setting everything off, initiating everything. All that we see now. You know, all that science has looked at and dabbled at, you know, that's all around us, throughout the universe. God spoke it into the being. When God existed, before He spoke it into being, God was Spirit. God is Spirit. And that's what existed. The natural, He says, will be done away with. All that we see and touch. If you follow the science theory through, and you look at an atom, and you look at all it consists of, it's just energy. It's not a thing. It's not a... We think of something as a solid, but it's not. Depending what scale that you can go down to look at it. Turn to John chapter 1. We're into the New Testament. And it's very much a parallel, John chapter 1, verse 1, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Starts off again, in the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, again. Jesus existed in the beginning. We find it difficult to understand outside the natural. This is one of the downfalls of science, but we'll come to that a bit later. Now, just looking behind the word, that's it, the word that's there. And it comes from logos. We use it in a bit, say, like logos and things like that, comes from the same derivative. But it means intelligence. God's there in His intelligence, and His Spirit is there as He creates everything, as Jesus speaks everything into being. It says He was in the beginning with God. He was there at the start. There before anything happened in the physical. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In other words, everything came into being through Him.
Yeah.
Everything we see, touch, everything we're aware of, came into being by Him. But because we're like stuck in the physical, in the natural, we find it difficult to see the spiritual side. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. What was the first thing we read? Or first thing I brought to you was, the fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah.
And this verse is saying, but a natural man, we just talked about the creation of the natural, by the spiritual, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him.
Yeah.
He thinks it's stupid because the natural man finds it so difficult to see the spiritual.
Yeah.
And he can't understand them, he can't comprehend them. Because the spiritual, in my version it says, because they're spiritually appraised. I think the other one is, it says examined or discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. So the one who's in the natural looks at things in the natural, and all he sees is the natural, the physical. But it's interesting that it still uses the word foolishness. It's the foolishness in terms of blindness and ignorance. Because it's limited in a perception. It's limited in understanding. God tried to explain through the prophets this same concept. And in Isaiah chapter 55... If you want to turn to that, this is something that Andrew's shared on and preached on a few times. Verse 8, Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So what does that mean? It means, first of all, that we don't understand how God ticks.
Yeah.
On the natural level, on the physical level. We don't know how he ticks. We don't know how he thinks or does what he does. It says, verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We're just thinking down here.
Yeah.
We're thinking down at this level. And God's somewhere way, way up there. We know through science a lot of bits and pieces of the things around us, but it's on a much lower level than God's thinking. We're just down at base level, if you like. And God's way up in the clouds there with his knowledge, with his awareness, with his abilities. So he's telling us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, I was speaking to somebody the other week, and they were in an argument. And it's difficult to argue against flesh.
Yeah.
It is so difficult. Somewhere along the line there's got to be a trigger in a person's heart to reach through into the spiritual, to get some glint of God. And that's what happens to us. When we get saved, suddenly we get this glimpse of God through Jesus, that we can see reality on another level. We can see reality on a level we've never seen it before. Instead of the day-to-day drudgery, as it often is, of living, suddenly God opens up a whole new realm. And he takes us up out of that base thinking, up into something where we can see. I mean, you know, if you go and stand on a hill, your view of things is so much greater. And God's taking us up into something so much higher.
Amen.
Mentioned about theory. We'll come into that now. We are a science-orientated society. You agree? We are science-orientated. Science is snippets of facts, knowledge, information, linked together by assumptions and theories. That means science hasn't got a complete picture. It might have a little bit there, a little bit there. This is Darwin's theory. A little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. And then somebody will come along and say, oh, I need to connect all them. I'll link all them together with my theory.
Yes.
And suddenly, you've got something that's fact. Well, that's what they say. They claim it's fact. Because it's certain truths in it. You know, certain things are in place. But the linkings are all assumptions.
Yeah.
And then you get further down the line of history and somebody else comes on with another theory that sounds better than the first theory. Oh, we'll take that on board instead. And we'll have that as our theory. That is now the truth. That is now the fact. Till something else comes on board. And that's how it goes. I looked in the dictionary on the definition of the word science. And it came up with something quite interesting. I'll read the definition first and then I'll just cover it a bit better. This is straight out of the dictionary, word for word. A branch of knowledge conducted on objective principles involving the systemized observation of and experiment with phenomena, especially concerned with the material and functions of the physical universe. Now, you've all got that in your grey matter now, you all know exactly what that means, haven't you? It's a mouthful of words that, not easy to understand. A branch of knowledge conducted on objective principles, yeah? Okay. We know what knowledge is. Objective principles, nah, I don't know, it's something perhaps you're aiming for, perhaps an objective is something you're going for, isn't it? Involving the systemized observation of an experiment with phenomena. Now that is a real, right. Systemized. That's methodical, according to a plan, regular. Observation, taking notice of something. And of experiment. Now, experiment, it gives it sort of three different meanings, probably, on this. It's a procedure done to make a discovery, test a theory, or demonstrate a fact. Make a discovery, test a theory, or demonstrate a fact. And that word phenomena is a fact or occurrence that appears or is perceived, especially one of which the cause is in question. Now, that in itself is a bit of a stumbler. A phenomena is a fact or occurrence that appears or is perceived, especially one of which the cause is in question. Now, as soon as you start looking at these words and these definitions, there's so many grey areas in them. It's not black and white. This is science. This is science that's telling us the thing is fact. You know, and now they're describing it with all these highfalutin words that are so grey, so, you know, it's... But it does, and then it goes to say, especially concerned with the material and functions of the physical universe. It's dealing with the physical universe. As soon as you read that definition, there's such a massive flaw in it.
Yeah.
It takes no account of the spiritual.
No.
Absolutely no account. Because the physical cannot measure the spiritual. The physical cannot comprehend The spiritual. Remember, the spiritual created the physical. So the physical is subject to the spiritual, not the other way around. So how does a scientist grasp hold of the spiritual in all his theories? He can't. Science cannot do that. Science can look at these snippets that it sees. You know, whether the dinosaurs hidden in clay, whether a butterfly or a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly, or whatever, it takes these snippets and tries to make a theory out of it. A science has to justify itself. Having established an item as fact, it then has to justify why it's there. And it justifies itself by explanation, some sort of explanation. But its explanation is flawed, because a major ingredient in life is missing. Because it only sees it on the physical level. Everything happens, as far as it knows, on the spiritual level. One of the scientific theories, one of the scientific theories is... I understood it as being the second law of thermodynamics, but I don't know whether it strictly is that. But the law is that everything heads towards chaos. Right? Everything heads towards chaos. Now, if you have an explosion, everything heads towards chaos. It never straightens itself out. You know, it might cool down and spread. But that's it. It will never produce anything that's intelligent or any order about it. That is chaos. Yet when you look at the Earth and what's on it, and you look at yourself, and you see the complexity. You know, just think about your eyes and your ears, your ability to breathe, everything. And you look at all that, and you say, chaos? Yeah. And of course, the ultimate concept as well is that you're aware of being you. Yeah. You're aware of being uniquely you. I'm aware of being uniquely me. I'm aware of being. So an inanimate object can't do that. So, you see, this is one of the gaps in science. Oh yeah, we've got this and we've got that. Yeah, so life will form. Just a minute. You just made a sweeping statement there. How can life just form? But that's what they do, they'll say, oh, life will happen. But just a minute. How? You know, science is lost for an explanation. Yes. Science is lost for an explanation. Because there's some things come out of the spiritual realm. They have the starting point in the spiritual realm. And they can't answer it. We've got a link to the Creator. And the link is in the Spirit. So we can't take somebody along and introduce them to God in the physical. But God is there. The difficulty is getting the person to believe and to see that God is there. So where do we go? We've got the physical, we know the spiritual's created the physical. We feel sometimes that we've got our back to again the wall, as if we've got to justify ourselves. very often as Christians. You know, you talk to somebody that's not a Christian and suddenly it's as if you've got to prove yourself. No, we haven't. You see, where we go from here, in all the intellect that man's got, they fall short.
Yeah.
They fall so far short. Where we go from here is faith. Faith takes us into the spiritual. Faith produces the link. He says, God says that without faith it's impossible to please me. He says, you can't please me without having faith. You've got to have faith to link into me.
Yeah.
When Jesus went to the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that happened was that all the guilt that should have been upon us, it says, Jesus took it and he nailed it to the cross.
Yeah.
Or God nailed it to the cross. And when they drove the nails into Jesus, they nailed all our sin debt on that cross. I think one of the things that we have in our language is that we pay things on the nail. Or one of the things that they said, they were paid on the nail. And I think what happened, well, when a bill was paid, they stuck it on the nail.
Yeah.
That's paid. Effectively destroyed the bill. And Jesus took our sin upon himself when he nailed it to the cross. And if you turn to Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says we've come into justification. We've come into justification because Jesus did exactly that. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. It says, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And that exult means to be greatly joyful, feeling a triumph, we're triumphant.
Amen.
In the hope of the glory of God. We've come into his presence, we've got access into his presence. Not because of anything we have done and anything we are. Because we've reached out beyond the physical into the spiritual. And we've reached into God's presence. But we can only do that through Jesus. He came to be the link, the gateway, the doorway to bring us in to that. Because somewhere on the line, mankind lost it. We lost it. And this nation is in that quagmire.
Yeah.
It thinks it can go it alone. It thinks it's got the answers and it hasn't. It thinks that all that exists is only what they see and touch. And all the time the feelings that's going on inside an individual tells them there's more to it than that. But they think that's all around them. Well, while things were going well, and they were in a comfort zone, that were okay, they managed all that, because the natural things give them the security and the comfort they need. But when you take that away, suddenly, there's got to be more. You hear people say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to life than this. You know, we see them on the streets, we see them struggling with drink problems, drug problems, homelessness, and all sorts of violence and things going on. You see, people said, there's got to be more than this.
Yeah.
And there is. There is.
Amen.
And the nation, the people have stopped listening to the church because the church has gone quiet. The church has watered down the truth. God is still there. God's not gone away.
No.
It's just that so many have chosen to think he doesn't exist. And they'll just live on this natural physical existence. But there's coming a day when that won't be enough. There's coming a day in their lives when that won't be enough. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. You see, that thing not seen, that's the spiritual again. Faith is the assurance that God is there, that God cares, and He cares for the individual, you and me individually.
Yeah.
And faith is also the evidence.
Yes.
You move into faith, the evidence is inside you.
Yeah.
You get a reality check. The evidence is inside you. God is there.
Amen.
God is real.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Amen.
You'll see things in the natural. You see things in the physical. That's not where it's all about. What it's all about is the faith side. Because it's the faith side that reaches into eternity. It's the faith side that reaches to God. There's an interesting thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes." What's he talking about with the wise and intelligent? Well, he's talking about man's intellect. Man's intellect will not get him to God. You can go to college, university, and you can do a theological degree and learn all about the history of the church and the Bible and that. But unless it comes alive, unless faith takes hold and the trigger comes to bring you into the spiritual, all you will get is a diploma.
Yeah.
And that's not enough.
Yeah.
But God says, for all man's intellect, it'll not get him into the kingdom of God. For all that intellect.
Yeah.
He says about the He says it reveals them to babes. It says, thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and did reveal them to babes. Who's the babes? Well, the one who just starts reaching in faith.
Yeah.
When we were born, there came a time when we started to learn to walk. We started crawling and started walking. Well, when you start touching on faith, when you start reaching out into faith, we're back to that stage.
Yeah.
You're learning to crawl, learning to walk in faith. It's a new experience for a lot of people. So it's talking about us being babes. Going back to that stage of being babes and just reaching out to God as a babe and just saying, Lord, if you're there, I want to believe and I'm reaching out to you, and faith will start to grow. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it points out another thing as well. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. We can't earn our way to heaven by good works. As important as good works are, they themselves will not get us to heaven.
Yeah.
It says it's not as a result of works. It's purely through the grace of God,
yeah,
allowing us to reach Him in faith.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And we can only reach Him when our sin problem is dealt with. And Jesus has dealt with our sin problem.
Amen.
Our sin was shutting us off from God. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things it says, one of the accounts of his crucifixion is that the temple curtains were ripped in two. Now the temple curtains represented going from the main part of the church where everybody could go into what they call the Holy of Holies, where only high priest could go. And Jesus demonstrated, God demonstrated that by tearing the curtains in two, that we individually have access through that curtain into the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God, because the Holy of Holies was a place where God dwelt, where God met his people. But now, we've got access into that place, into that area. Just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Not sure whether we mention this or not. Yeah. Well, that one I think I read this earlier. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. While ever we think it's foolishness, we're not going to grasp hold of the reality, of the truth. Another word for the word foolishness is absurd. So many people think that the existence of God is absurd. And because of that, they shut themselves off from the reality of God. Because they can only find God by reaching out to him. God's not going to come and frog march him into his presence. We know that God doesn't work like that. One Corinthians 1 verse 18. Because for the word of God, for the word of the cross, is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. God's moving, and he doesn't have to take account of your and my intelligence. Your or my worldly wisdom. You know, that sometimes we think we've got all the answers, where in actual fact we've got very few answers. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. We can get all through our intellect, all through our natural arguments, and we can have stand-up arguments with people trying to argue them into the kingdom, and it doesn't work. It just does not work. But you see, our faith, it says our faith must not rest on man's wisdom. Our faith does not come from man's wisdom, but on the power of God. That's the key. I want to just finish off by reading some more of that 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We miss a lot because we look with our sights too low. Because we are all involved in the things that's going on around us. We have to do our daily lives in the natural surroundings. And we get the pressures, the things to deal with that everybody else has to deal with. But God's put in His Word the keys for us reaching out beyond that, because that's where eternity is. Eternity is in the Spirit.
Amen.
It's in the spiritual realm. So when all this is done away with, you know, man thinks, oh, I'm all right now, when I die, that's it, the end. But God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that at all. So we'll read some more of that to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So verse 5, he said that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. You see, to somebody that can't or won't look beyond the natural, it's hidden. The mysteries of God are hidden. The mysteries of God are hidden from science, because science refuses to reach beyond what it can touch and feel and measure. So it's the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. See, the governments don't understand it. We mentioned that this country's laws were based on the Word of God. They were built on godly principles. And now they're tipping it out. They're tipping them all out. There's some very strong words in certain specific areas of life. And this nation are passing laws that are flouting those declarations that God made. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this world has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Did you hear that? For to us God revealed them through the Spirit.
Amen.
That's where it came. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So it's the Spirit that takes us into the depths of God. Not the natural, it's the spiritual. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. See, no one knows your thoughts. This is what, you know, people were tortured in the past for their beliefs. And they got them, in some cases, they got them to denounce their belief. They got them to speak the words. But what they couldn't do was get them to believe what they were speaking. People died for the faith. But under torture, they may well have actually said things that were against that. But in the heart and the thoughts, they knew that they knew that they knew that God was real. And no amount of torture could remove that from them. And the torturers would have known that. The best that the torturers could do was get them to speak something against their Creator. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And now we've got that verse 14. Then 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And that's our key. We have the mind of Christ. Talks about renewing the mind. And we're renewing our mind into Christ. So we think and live and have our being in Christ. And Paul talked a lot about this in his letters in the New Testament. That Christ is the Spirit. Christ is in us. And as we reach in, and it's faith again. As we reach in to God's Spirit through Jesus, that's how we get hold of more and more of the faith. It's faith takes us in there. You know, I said in the past, we preached in the past that we start off by hope. Hope is the first. And we reach from hope into faith. And faith takes us into God's presence.
Yeah.
Hope, the absence of hope, is death. It's a killer. You take hope from somebody and they'll shrivel up and die.
Yeah.
You keep hope in somebody, or you restore hope in somebody, and they'll live.
Yeah.
Because they can't just stay in hope. You have to. You can't just exist in hope. You've got to move from hope into faith.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesus takes us. We see science thinks it's got answers, and it creates more questions for itself than answers, because it's an incomplete thing. God is complete. His knowledge is complete. What he's done is complete. What Jesus did on the cross is complete, because he told us on the cross, it is complete, it is finished. And all we need to do now is learn to move in faith into God's presence, into Jesus' presence. I'm not saying that science has no answers, is wrong. I quite accept all the information that they found, yeah. I'm not saying no, they haven't found dinosaur bones. Yeah, I've seen them. I know they're there. It doesn't change one iota my relationship to God. Because I know that God set it all in place. God initiated it all. So all that science might find in history does not contradict God at all. Because God put it there. God set it all in motion. I encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you're walking just in that natural realm, and you probably, there's something inside you that's probably saying, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. And suddenly it's dawning on you, yeah, there is more to life than this. And Jesus is the answer. There is a spiritual realm that I'm not tapping into, that I'm not getting into. And I need to get hold of that. I need to get into that. I need to get in touch with my Creator. I just invite you today to make that decision in your life to get hold of that Creator.
Yes.
To get in touch with your Creator. The one who spoke you into being, that spoke everything physical that you see and feel and touch around you. Spoke into being, and he gave you the breath of life. He gave you the breath of life, and he gave you and me the ability to fellowship with him, to actually talk to the Creator. It's beyond our human perception to understand it, but it said in Isaiah that his thoughts are so far above our thoughts. His abilities, his everything is so far. As soon as we start trying to bring God into our own understanding, we can't. It'll blow our minds. But God is there, and it's a reality. The fact that as a nation, many in our nation have shut him off, does not stop God being a reality. The hope is that as a nation, we'll turn around and we'll come back to him. Because God says he'll bless the nation whose God is the Lord. He'll bless them. And we want to be blessed as a nation. But we've done some awful things as a nation in recent years. And sometimes it's by default of us Christians, because we haven't had our voice heard. The church leaders, and I'm talking about, you know, we've got established churches, the Church of England, Roman Catholic, wherever else, churches in the nation, who've got heads, leaders, they've not heard, they've not made the church's voice heard strong enough in the government of the day. And others have come in. When we worked in industry and that, the unions had leaders. And the unions often had leaders who took their posts by default, because others weren't interested. So they stepped in. Because the people that really had a conscience would not entertain being union leaders. Because quite often it was an extreme sort of position, a radical position that wasn't favoured by the moderates. So the extremes got in quite often. But we need to have our voice heard as a church, as a nation, because there is a spiritual wrong. Science hasn't discovered it and can't discover it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And I encourage you today to make that decision to reach out to Jesus and said, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. And just invite him into your heart, invite him into your life, and he'll change you and introduce you to a spiritual realm that will blow you away.
Yeah.
It'll change your life, it'll change your circumstances, it'll change your direction.
Yeah.
And it'll do some tremendous things in your life. Amen.